Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Strangest Stories, Volume 3. Story number 1. We moved into a new house a few months ago. As we were in the process of purchasing the house, the renter, who was living in it, died unexpectedly of natural causes in his mid-40s. He died right in the middle of the living room. Shortly after, we moved into the house, and almost immediately, our 2-year-old daughter started talking about the ghost that lived in our house. Now, let's be real here. She is 2, and 2-year-olds are very impressionable. Halloween had recently passed, and she had this Halloween-themed picture book that she loved to read. So it's entirely possible that all his talk of ghosts was just coming from looking through that book on a regular basis. Still, she was always telling me that the ghost was in her playhouse in the basement, or that the ghost was on the stairs, or that the ghost was standing in the corner. She never seemed to be afraid of the ghost and considered him to be her friend, so I wasn't all that concerned, even if there really was a ghost haunting our house. If he's a nice and helpful ghost, it could certainly be a lot worse. I would often tell the ghost that he was welcome to stay if he wanted to, but he was also welcome to go if that would make him happier. I was about 30-70 on the ghost being real, and she could see and talk to him versus the ghost being just her imagination, fueled by her Halloween book, until one day, when we were going out to the car to go to daycare in the morning. It was still dark out and rainy. My daughter told me that the ghost was on the back deck, and then she told me that today was the ghost's birthday and she wanted to sing him happy birthday. Once again, I mostly disregarded what she was saying, as she is birthday obsessed and has in the past made us sing happy birthday to Mickey Mouse, a bowl of fruit snacks, and the bathroom. So we sang and wished the ghost a happy birthday and went on with our lives. Later that day, out of pure curiosity, I looked up the obituary of the man who had died in our house. And wouldn't you know it, it was his effing birthday. Story number 2. This happened a couple of weeks ago and is the most recent creepy moment I can recall. I on and off again babysit this 2-year-old while his parents have a date night. Once before my friend was babysitting him and he started talking to his grandpa, who his parents say never met, as he had died before the kid was born. So whenever I babysit him, I prepare for something weird like that to happen again. Of course, this night, we were in his living room and pointed at an empty wall in front of us. Grandpa is all he said. He's 2 and doesn't talk a whole lot, so I didn't ask for an explanation. Instead, I started talking about other things because it was creeping me out. The kid then widened his eyes and gripped the chair he was sitting in, chattering his teeth and shaking uncontrollably. Here's me freaking the F out, so I grabbed him and told him that it's time to watch a movie before bed. Later that night, I was about to take him upstairs when I noticed the door was unlocked. I locked it and turned a knob, shaking the door to reaffirm that it was locked. I do this without fail to every door I lock. It's a dumb quirk. And then carried him upstairs to bed since he's already half asleep. I was in his room for about 20 minutes, and when he was finally out, I left him and went back downstairs. The front door is directly in front of the stairs, and guess what? The door was unlocked. Immediately, I think that this is going to be a horror movie, and think that it's a smart idea to check around the house. Nothing out of the ordinary. I even went upstairs to check on the kid again. I didn't bother looking in the other bedrooms because I had his door open when we were laying in there and would have seen anyone come up. Anyways, after making sure he was okay, I went back downstairs and watched TV until his parents got home, jumping at every little noise. Freakiest night of my life, and I had to debate for a solid hour when they asked me to watch him again a couple of days later. Story number 3. Something found me after a car accident, and I don't know what it was. During our drive home from a family trip, our car hit black ice on a curve that sent us rolling. That day, I didn't wear my seatbelt, and I was ejected out of the car by breaking through my window, using my face as a ram. From my perspective, one second I'm in the car, and next thing I know, I'm laying in some bushes. I tried getting up, but I was stopped by an intense pain in my shoulder. I'd broken my collarbone. Honestly, I don't know if I passed out or just went to sleep, but at this point, I lost consciousness. After an unknown amount of time, through my closed eyes, I saw a flash of light shine over me. It was about 3 a.m. My dad found me, lifted me to my feet with ease, and pushed me towards where the totaled car and my family was. A distinct detail I remember about this moment is how firm his hands were. The unexplainable part, after talking to my brother, I realized something. My dad never actually went looking for me. My mom was badly damaged, and no one had any idea what happened to me. They actually assumed the worst and thought I was dead under the car. We didn't even have a flashlight. I don't know who or what found me lying there, but something did. I distinctly remembered the light shining over me before firm, strong hands lifted me up like I was paper. Before talking about it, I always just assumed it had been my dad. My collarbone healed, so it just protrudes a bit. It stuck as a permanent reminder of that day. Next story. So there's this old bridge in my town that supposedly is haunted by a young girl who drowned in the river beneath it. Apparently, if you come at the right time, you could hear her scream. When me and my buddies were in high school, we had nothing better to do than go ghost hunting. Being from a town of 6,000 people in good old southern Illinois, half of that being prison inmates and mental health patients, you have to get a bit creative to have any sort of fun. Anyway, we got to this bridge at about 3 a.m. and we sat there for a while. Nothing happened. About 20 minutes went by and we were all skeptical. Everyone was joking about how dumb this was or trying to creep each other out. All of a sudden, screaming. The most blood-curdling, high-pitched screaming you've ever heard. It wasn't just one scream either. It never stopped. It kept going even as we were driving away in our cars. But that's not even the worst part. Me and one of my buddies hightailed it back to the car as soon as we heard the initial scream, because you had to walk a bit downhill to get underneath the bridge. Halfway back, we both go from sprinting to a dead stop at the exact same moment. I never asked him what he saw because I saw it for myself. It was a girl running on all fours into the woods. I don't talk about this much because it gives me chills just thinking about it, and nobody ever takes me seriously. Next story. My mother-in-law was a very funny and cool woman. She and my wife were really close, and sadly she passed away when our son was about 4 months old. Fast forward a few years, we lived in an old 1930s era craftsman house in Pasadena, California. Our son was about 3 years old. I was giving him a bath one night and he started looking over my shoulder, not at random stuff, but at something. A moment passed and he asked me why grandma calls mommy a funny name. Long pause. I asked him what he meant, thinking he was talking about my mom. He then said, "Why does grandma call mommy?" My mother-in-law's nickname for my wife. I was really set back by this. My wife and I never used a nickname. It was just what her mom called her since she was a baby. I asked him where he heard that, and his reply, "The farmer told me." I asked him who the farmer was, and he replied, "His friend." I told my wife this story later, and she, of course, was reduced to tears over the whole nickname thing. We both knew there is no way for him to know this, and we just kind of marveled at it. Fast forward to the next weekend, and my son is playing in his room. My wife is at work, and I'm at home. I heard him start to talk like he's having a conversation. He's saying things like, "Yes, no, I don't know that," then some laughing. I went into his room and asked him what was going on, and he said playing. I asked him with who, and he said, "The farmer." At this point, I'm already thinking about the effing Exorcist movie and Captain Howdy. It's a little unsettling. And I asked him where the farmer is. He said he left when I came in. What the F? So my wife gets home and I tell her this, and now she's just as weirded out as I am. We had no idea what to do, and figure if it happens again, we'll do something. A few days later, in the middle of the night, we both overheard our son saying the following. Grandma says you and I can't be friends anymore. My wife and I went to check on him, both of us a little freaked. He's just sitting up in bed. I asked if he's okay, and he said yes. Grandma said that I can't play with a farmer anymore. He never once mentioned the farmer again. Not ever. He's 13 years old now and doesn't remember any of it. We do, though. Next story. When my brother and I were around 4 or 5 years old, we lived in a house that was about 100 years old. One day we were walking up the stairs and we saw a tall man in a black coat and top hat walk into the living room, which was to the left of the bottom of the stairs. A bit freaked out, we thought our dad was pranking us, so we called out for him. Shit. Both parents came out of the kitchen, opposite side of the stairs and isolated from the living room. I hadn't thought about it for a long time, and we never spoke about it. Then about a month ago, my daughter asked if I believed in ghosts, so I told her the story. Literally seconds later, my phone beeped. It was my brother saying, I was just talking to my wife about paranormal stuff. Do you remember the guy in the top hat? Next story. Okay, this is my go-to scary story that happened to me. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I stayed up sort of late. When I got to bed, I was still feeling restless. I pulled all of my blankets around me and tucked myself in against the wall. My twin bed was flush with the wall. I was in bed awake for probably an hour when I started hearing a rather unsettling noise, muffled crying. I focused on it, hoping it was my imagination or I was asleep. After a few minutes, I needed to see what it was. I turned around in bed to see a woman in a dress standing at the far side of my room crying into her hands. Her hair was matted and her clothes tattered. She was about 7 or 8 feet tall, crammed under the ceiling. After a few seconds, she looked up at me and screamed, but it sounded like it was coming from far away. She made eye contact with me, turned around, and walked through the wall. I stayed awake that night. Next story. When I was maybe 6 or 7, I was staying the night at my grandparents' house. I was on the couch trying to sleep when I heard whispering. They had a painting of my aunt hanging on the wall in the living room, and it was talking to me. Nothing creepy, though. It was talking the way my aunt would talk to me, asking me if I was behaving in typical aunt talk. She told me to wake my grandfather up because she needed to talk to him. I did. And when he realized she wasn't there, he began scolding me. In between threats and insults, he noticed someone moving outside the window. He grabbed his pistol and told me to stay in the room with my grandmother. A minute or two later, we heard a gunshot. Turned out there was a prison for young adults about 20 miles from where they lived. 3 of them killed the guard and escaped. They were sizing the house up to take his truck and whatever they could, but he saw them first. Ended up shooting one of them in the shoulder. I have no idea what the effing picture was talking to me about. They've never experienced ghosts before or since. Next story. I live in the north of Switzerland. We have a lot of old military bunkers from the Second World War. When I was 7 or 8 years old, 3 friends of mine and I were out to explore one of these bunkers, which was built on a hillside inside a small forest. The main door was jammed, so we had to break it up. We found a big log nearby and used it as a battering ram. After many tries, the door wouldn't budge, but there was a peephole. It was about 4 inches in diameter. We opened it and illuminated the dark inside. There was a long, ruined, and dark hallway with rooms on the left and the right side. We couldn't see the end of the hallway. It was just too long. Every one of us wanted to catch a glimpse of the inside when one of my friends said, "There's a small light at the end of the hallway." This light was not there when I watched through the peephole, so I pushed him away and took a second look. What I saw gave me a shiver. There was not a small light. It looked more like a flashlight pointed directly towards me, and behind it was a silhouette of a person. I walked a few steps back and said, "There's someone in there." At the same moment, someone or something knocked on the door from the inside of the bunker. This was the moment we got into panic, started screaming, and ran away. I was so scared, I ran straight home and locked the door. On the next day in school, my friends and I talked about the event. We came to the explanation that probably some older kids had played a prank on us. 1 week later, we went to the same bunker again. But as we saw, the welded connection that should keep the door locked was rusty and not broken, and we just left without saying a word to each other. It was impossible for someone to open this door before us, and this was the only entrance. I still live in the same region. Standing in front of this door again was not very comfortable. The story happened 20 years ago, but it still looks the same. Next story. I have 4 little cousins who never got to meet my grandfather. He passed before they were born. One morning, they ran downstairs for breakfast, as they usually did. As my uncle was getting their food ready, one pointed to the fridge and said, "That's him." My uncle, not thinking much of it, said, "Who?" and looked over. They were pointing at a picture of my grandfather, who they never got to meet. My cousin responded, "The man that comes and talks to us at night until we fall asleep sometimes." Not horrifying, but still kind of eerie. Next story. My friend and I time traveled, or that is the easiest explanation. We were in high school and he was taking my bus back to my house with me. We got home around 2:45 and my mother got home around 3 p.m. We decided to go hiking before my mother could say no, so we left a note on the counter and took off. We took our usual route up the backyard hill, making sure to avoid the crazy people that resided in makeshift homes up there. Climbed some trees for a while, explored a section of the car graveyard we hadn't checked out before, and other typical teenage exploring type stuff. We took a break near the top of the mountain. It was unusually beautiful that day, incredibly green, and there were seriously visible light beams shining down through the canopy. Like, seriously pretty stuff. So, of course, I started running around through the light and decided we should probably start getting back, because my mother was probably going to be pissed if we missed dinner. On the way back, we stumbled into a pond we had never encountered before. It was small and had a single wooden boat on it. There were also a few teepees around the pond. Not old teepees. They looked ratty and unusable. We decided someone was probably living there and took a new path back home. We climbed down and up an old quarry and dropped off the main road that led to my house. We were absolutely filthy and over a mile from my place. We just walked the road back to my house. We arrived home before my mother, which seemed strange, so I threw out the note so she wouldn't know we were out gallivanting. She got home like 3 minutes later, wondering how we had gotten so dirty at school. She arrived home at her usual time, and we had only been gone a grand total of 13 to 15 minutes. We honestly don't even talk about that day anymore. It's too confusing, but yeah, time travel. Next story. I was on a tour of an old building in Australia that used to function as a prison for convicts sent over from the UK. We were going up a flight of stairs when I felt a pressure around my neck or windpipe area. I didn't think much more of it than, that's weird, and just sort of rubbed my neck in hopes of making the sensation pass. When we were heading back down, the guide said a man hung himself in that stairwell, and people often reported the feeling of being strangled. I completely bugged the F out, but didn't tell anyone in my tour group in fear they'd think I was lying, which I wasn't. Next story. When I was 12, I was in bed one night with my bedroom door open. I was watching TV, sitting somewhat upright with a pillow behind my head and shoulders. The TV was in one corner of the room and the door was in the other corner. The room was differently shaped and basically where the door was cut off from the corner of what would normally be a perfectly square floor plan. So with my bed lying between the two, I watched TV and I could see out the door. I was scared of aliens, so don't judge. So I was watching TV and out the door is completely black. Next thing you know, something catches my eye, and I look over out the door, and this all-white human-shaped object is moving past the door from left to right. And when I stared directly at it, it turned and looked at me. A split second later, it was passed to the right threshold of the door, and I was left petrified. Shaking in my covers, nearly shitting myself, I then heard the door to the garage open, and I shit myself even more. I ran downstairs. I was greeted by my drunk 19-year-old brother getting home. I spilled out what was just happened to me, and he grabbed a bat, and we checked every room, under the bed, in closets. Everyone was asleep, and we found nothing. Needless to say, I never slept with my door open again. Still to this day, 11 years later. Next story. When I was younger, I used to live by the woods. I could see a cemetery from my back porch. One Easter, I remember waking up and seeing the Easter Bunny, one of those terrifying costumes. And what really got me was that I remember smelling the wet hay. When I woke up, I didn't tell anyone, but there was an extra Easter egg in my house that my parents didn't hide. Years later, when I went to high school, I asked my parents if they ever dressed up like the Easter Bunny and came to our room. They said they would never go through so much trouble. Then my younger sister, who I shared a bunk bed with when this happened, said she remembered when the Easter Bunny came into our room and made a remark about the hay smell. I was terrified that we both remembered seeing a person dressed as a bunny in our room. To make it even stranger, I told the friends I sat with at lunch what happened. One of the girls was my neighbor across the street. She told me one Easter, a long time ago, she looked out her windows during the night and saw the Easter Bunny standing in her driveway. I had chills. To this day, I am terrified of people in rabbit costumes. Next story. This is actually my husband's story. When he was in high school, he and some of his friends had a camp out at his friend's aunt and uncle's house in the country. They did the usual cooking out, putting up a tent, etc. At some point during the night, my husband went for a short walk near a small pond on the property to take a leak. As he was doing his business, he looked up and saw a man walking around the edge of the pond towards him. He clearly saw this man, who was walking with his head down. He described him as wearing a red flannel shirt, jeans, and work boots. He thought this was very strange that this guy was out walking around a pond in the country in the middle of the night. So he said, "Hey man, what are you doing?" He didn't get an answer, and the guy kept walking past him and was now facing away when suddenly he just wasn't there anymore. My husband went and told his friends what happened. The boy's relatives owned the property, was shocked, and immediately ran to the house and woke them up. He had my husband describe what he had seen. The boy's aunt immediately started to cry. She had been seeing the same guy in the house, sometimes standing at the foot of the bed, and her husband did not believe her. He had been accusing her of insanity, and apparently they were on the brink of divorce from this issue. She was so relieved that someone had been able to validate what she had been experiencing. Next story. I was at a friend's house when I passed out on the couch. I woke up a bit later and realized it was time for me to go. Got up and noticed my buddy's light on in his room, but the door was shut. I walked by the door and told him I was leaving because I had to work in the AM. He said, "Yep, see ya." I went to the fridge to grab my drink. Then I walked back to his room and said, "Later, dude." He said, "Yep." Something didn't seem legit, didn't sound quite like him, so I opened the door. No one was there. No one was in the house. I went outside and his truck was gone. I freaked the F out. I called his cell and he had left to go to McDonald's 15 minutes prior. I bolted outside and waited for him to get home. He told me the kid that used to live there years ago hung himself in the attic, and ever since he lived there he had noticed strange things and voices. This was confirmed by the neighbor, the kid's older brother. After that, just about anyone who goes over there has a weird experience. My buddy has dealt with it for years. When it gets weird, he yells out, "Leave me alone!" And he says the weird vibes stop for a bit, but they always come back. Next story. Many years ago, as a 14-year-old staying overnight at a friend's house with three other friends of similar ages. We'd all grown up together except one, who was a cousin of the kid who lived there, and we'd never met him before. His older sister, 16 at the time, was the babysitter while the parents were out for the evening. She decided to unearth a Ouija board from a cupboard somewhere and thought it would be a laugh to scare us shitless. This was back in the days when you could buy Ouija boards as a board game from your local toy store. So we all gathered around and she started off with a kind of yes or no lie detector, directing questions to each of us in turn. Cue nervous giggles, but also a feeling of unease, as we all began to feel like this was awesomely amazing, like some kind of secret that we'd all been unaware of before. Then things get really strange. When the sister asked out loud that if anybody is here, please show yourself. A pause of a few seconds, and then a framed picture fell off the wall and onto the floor. Naturally, we all freaked the F out. She calmed us all down and insisted we go back to the board because we have to help whoever knocked the picture down. Ashen-faced and our hearts pounding, we started asking questions. And I should also add, the pointer was moving smoothly and rapidly in a completely different manner than before. Are you in the room? Pointer said yes. Are you a man? Pointer said no. Do you need help? Pointer said no. What's your name? Pointer spelled out S-A-R-A-H, Sarah. Tell us a secret, we asked. Pointer spells out, flip a coin. So we did. Someone left the table and got a 10-cent piece from out of the loose change jar in the kitchen. This was in the days when 10-cent pieces were big and chunky. The coin went spinning high up into the air, and as we watched it come down, it stopped spinning and serenely falls edge down to land on the table. When I say land, it didn't bounce. It didn't rock. It just came down and met the table, perfectly balanced on its edge, as if someone had reached out and gently placed it there. Breaking the silence, the pointer started moving again. Seemingly random letters, we soon realized they were initials, including middle names. Family tradition for my friend and his sister was to have three middle names, something not all of us knew. Aside from the brother and the cousin, no one else would have known the older sister's full name, and we'd met the cousin for the first time that night. Somehow, every person present had their initials correctly spelled out to them. Pointer paused and then spelled out three last words. Children, stop now. It took me many, many weeks to be able to sleep properly. No one told their parents, and over the years it became our collective shared secret. Couldn't rationalize it then, still can't rationalize it today. Next story. I used to work at a place which required it to be manned 24 hours a day. Reason being is that I handled sensitive documents and files, and if somebody needed this information in the middle of the night, I would have to fetch it for them or confirm that I had it. Anyway, security is kind of tight, bars on the windows, multiple locked doors to get to where I am. They would give me work to do during the night, but underestimated how quickly I could get it done. So like most nights, I finished my work in about 30 to 45 minutes and pulled out my phone and played games. There was nobody else in the building at night. So now it was getting to be the last third of my shift when all of a sudden I heard a door close. I looked at the security camera and I saw someone walking down a hall towards my room. At first I thought it was just somebody that came in ridiculously early, so I turned around and waited for them to come in. But nobody came in, and then the hairs started rising on my back. Now, this isn't a really big building, so I figured I'd find the guy wherever he is and start checking offices and storage rooms, but I came up empty-handed. However, I did see that a fire door had shut. I went to try and rewind the camera, but the digital recording is password protected, and I didn't know the password. Anyway, the whole thing freaked me out. The way the person was walking down the hallway, like a determined walk right to where I was. So I sat with my spine tingling for the last couple of hours until my shift ended and finally people started coming in. My replacement showed up and I told her what I saw, and at this point I figured I must have imagined the whole thing.
I was told to go home, and the manager, the girl who replaced me, would look over the camera. After getting home, I called my manager and asked what was on the camera. So they said that the video showed the fire door closing, but then the video froze for about an hour. The next thing it recorded was me reopening the door. Next story. I played with the Ouija board in college. I was not on it when it started spelling out "fuck Mary" over and over. Someone on the board asked, "Mary who?" The board then spelled "virgin." The person asked why. It then said, "because she watches him." The person asked who. The piece then slid off the table toward me and landed at my feet. I had not told anyone in that room about my religious background, and I was living a life quite contrary to my upbringing. I noped out of there right then. When I went to get in my car, long blades of grass were lining all of my windows, wedged in between the weather stripping and the glass. I wasn't in there long enough for someone to have been that precise on all four windows. Next story. I lived in some pretty unsettling places. One of the events that stuck with me the most is probably this. I woke up one morning and as usual, I walked to the mirror to brush the teeth and fix the hair. Now, I'm in a relatively small place with a balcony and the sink in the same room without openable windows. I looked in the mirror and I saw one of my plants moving like there was a wind blowing against it. I turned around and walked over to the plant that it's right next to the door, and I checked if the balcony door was closed, and it was. For some reason, while walking back to the mirror, my eye fell on one of the pens lying on my desk. When I arrived at the mirror, the first thing I noticed were all these pen markings on my face. My heart stopped, and goosebumps everywhere. I cleaned up and fled the room. When I came back, the door to the balcony was open. Needless to say, I didn't enjoy being there for quite some time after that. Next story. My mom had a seizure in her sleep. She's epileptic. She got wrapped up in her blankets and suffocated herself. Paramedics were able to get her breathing again and loaded her into an ambulance. This was very early in the morning, like 4:30 a.m. I was tasked with calling family to tell them my mother was in the hospital. The first and most important phone call I had to make was to my grandmother, her mother. Before I had a chance to grab the phone and call, the phone rang. It was my grandmother calling. This would have been about 5:30 in the morning, but about 2:30 in the morning in her time zone. She wanted to tell us that she'd seen my mother bathed in golden light and claimed they talked and that she was dead, but headed to a better place now. At this point, I didn't know my mother was going to die. My father was at the hospital with her and didn't know she was going to die yet. The doctors didn't know she was brain dead yet, but somehow my grandmother knew and contacted me. Incredibly spooky. Next story. My friends and I were visiting a graveyard a couple of blocks away from my home on Halloween, because why not? There's a building that restaurants have been going in and out of for years, and none seem to stay open for long. The graveyard is basically this place's backyard. On that night, for some reason, the lights were on in the building, and there was a lady in a pink dress standing in the window just staring at us. There was no restaurant open in there at that time. We all kind of booked it, and this lady followed us from the window to window like she was gliding, not walking, which made us completely book it. We ran as fast as we could down the road, and there's a segment without windows for her to follow which direction exactly we went. But by the time we got to the next set of windows, running full speed, she was standing there already, watching in our direction. We never made that trip again.